Well, it's great to be with you and looking forward to this message today. Listen, last week for me, I don't know what you got out of it, but it was huge for me. Just what has God called us to? Like the what if we knew what to do in this season? And we looked at a 1 Chronicles chapter 12, where the men of Issachar, they sent at the coronation of David becoming king. They all went to Hebron, all of the tribes, and they all sent their warriors except one tribe, Issachar. They sent their leaders, and these 200 men, they didn't send tens of thousands of warriors like everybody else. They simply sent 200 leaders who understood the signs of the times and knew the best course of action to take. And that prodded me to ask, like, what if we knew the best course of action to take? And I'm just giving a quick summation, which is this. I think it's here's what we're called to, the action that we're called to. We're called to pray. And so I've challenged everybody, put the phone aside, turn the screens off, make a list and begin to pray. This is what we're called to. This is the course of action that I know the Lord has for us. We're called to pray. We're called to praise. That means tell God the good things that He's done for us, how amazing He is. When you begin to put your perspective in the realm of the spiritual where God reigns supreme, listen, everything begins to change. We're called to pray. We're called to praise. And we're called to people. First, understanding who we are. And that we can, as in Genesis 49, 14, we can see the men of Issachar, the blessing that was prayed over them, they knew who they were. They were people who carried weight, but they could see the good of the countryside and how pleasant the land was. Even though it may be all nasty around us sometimes, we're able to see that because we know who we are as a people, God's children, blessed by Him, and who we're called to. Yes, we're called to prayer and to praise, but we're called to be His people and to reach people. And that was at the very, that whole story took place at the very beginning of David's reign, when he was just about to be made king. In fact, it's the coronation ceremony where that comes from. Well, today I want to look at the very end of David's reign. And it didn't end so well for David. I guess it did, but he had to go through some trials. At the end of his life, he's gone through all sorts of trials, difficulties. He is now king over the whole country. He's the giant killer. He's more than that. He's the man who really put Israel on the map. And God used him because David had a heart after God. David, the Bible tells us that David was a man after God's own heart, but he was far from perfect. He messed up numerous times. But we see in chapter 21 of 1 Chronicles, probably the greatest mess up of David. And it seems insignificant. And it says this in chapter 21, verse 1, it says, Satan rose up against Israel and caused David to take a census of the people of Israel. So David said to Joab, his right-hand man, the commander of the armies, his number one. David said to Joab and the commanders of the army, take a census of all the people of Israel from Beersheba in the south to Dan in the north and bring me a report so I may know how many there are. That seems like normal, innocuous, like there's no big deal with that, right? But Joab immediately is able to see the intent of David's heart. And he says this in verse 3. Joab replied, May the Lord increase the number of his people 100 times over. But why, my lord the king, do you want to do this? Are they not all your servants? And then he asks this question. Why must you cause Israel to sin? Because the issue wasn't about simply counting how many people there were. It was an issue of the heart where David was operating in pride and in essence saying, look at what I've done. Look at what's happened in my reign. I am the man. I am the best. And we know this, that pride goes before a fall. And that when we place our will and our way before God's, that is sin. And David is sinning. Even Joab saying, like, you're going to make the whole nation sin, because David was setting the example of, look at us, look at who we are. And it is very easy to look at the good things in our life and forget where they came from. It came from God. What did David do? David was just a shepherd boy that loved God, and God was with him, and God blessed him, and God used him. But it wasn't David's kingdom, it wasn't David's country, and they weren't David's people. He just happened to be the leader. But now, He's wanting to step back and say, look what I've done. And not only did Joab take offense with that, God did. And we see, it says that in verse 7, God was very displeased with the census, and he punished Israel for it. And David said to God, I've sinned greatly by taking this census. Please forgive my guilt for doing this foolish thing. And then David is visited by a prophet, the prophet Gad. And the prophet speaks on behalf of God and said, so Gad came to David in verse 11 and said, these are the choices the Lord has given you. You may choose 3 years of famine, 3 months of destruction by the sword of your enemies, or 3 days of severe plague. Let me just remind you, when we operate in pride and we do things our way with our will reigning supreme, that is sin. And there is always a consequence. And I want you to recognize that the discipline, and this is Hebrews 12:11, says all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. But those who are trained by it, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. God is disciplining David. But in the end, because David's heart really is for the Lord, he just messed up and did his own thing for a season. In the end, it's turned around, and we'll get to see the end of the story. But right now, we're at a place of God saying, no, your sin is going to cost you something, and it's going to cost the people around you something. And that's just true of sin in general. And so this is a lesson for us. And so David's response to, like, you get 3 years of famine, 3 months of war where your people get slaughtered, or 3 days of a plague. And David says, listen, whatever you do, Lord, let it be your hand and not another person's. And God sends an angel, and there's a plague through the people, and 70,000 people die. And then there's this really interesting interaction. David's at Jerusalem. And he is able in a moment to see. I've talked about like unzipping the fabric of the world around us and see into the supernatural. David's eyes are opened and he's able to see the supernatural. In verse 16, he's able to see what's happening. It says, David looked up and saw the angel of the Lord standing between heaven and earth with his sword drawn, reaching out over Jerusalem. He sees what's going on, and he recognizes why it's happening. Because he says later on, he says in verse 17, he says, David said to God, I'm the one who called for the census. I'm the one who sinned and done wrong, but these people are as innocent as sheep. What have they done? O Lord, my God, let your anger fall against me and my family, but do not destroy your people. David owns his sin, operates in humility, and God hears his cry and his prayer and relents. And I think in this story is the story of all of us, because the reality is, at some point in your life, you've probably done things your way, with your will being number one. You know, the test of failure is pretty easy. Most people pass it. But it's the test of success. When you've seen success and you can sit back and go, oh man, look at what I've done. Isn't that amazing? You can point to the pictures on the wall. Hey, look at that. Look at that. Yeah, yeah. You know, there's something that happens when we begin to take credit for what God's done. And that's sin. I think we can probably all identify. But from this, I believe that we can also see how we can build from the rubble of the ruins of sin. Because David gives us a picture. You know, at the beginning of his reign, like last week, you know, that a kingdom, it comes to fruition, like God's kingdom. In Matthew 6, where Jesus says, you know, your kingdom come, we should pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How does that happen? Through us praying, through us praising, through us recognizing that we're God's people, we're his children, we're called to reach the world around us. But how do we build, like when we mess up, when things are broken, when sin reigns supreme in the world around us, what do we do? How do we build God's kingdom? And I think there's a picture right here. So here it is. It says, then the angel of the Lord, in verse 18, the angel of the Lord told Gad to instruct David to go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. That's right where the angel of the Lord was about to strike. Like he's about to sweep that sword over all of Jerusalem. Already 70,000 have died. And now David, in that moment, if you remember, he's able to see. He sees into the spiritual. He has this moment where he sees the angel of the Lord and he realizes that it's his fault. He was the one that messed up. This wasn't on God, an angry God. This was on David messing up. And he is able to see. There's a moment, and I want you to get this, because this is how we build a broken and sin from a broken and sinful world. This is how we build. David has a revelation of what's truly going on. And he realizes, wait a minute, I'm going to read it again. I'm the one who called for the census. I'm the one who sinned. I'm the one who's done wrong. There's a revelation. And let me just remind you that we are called. This is it. I've said this before, but I want you to get it. This is how we are called to build God's kingdom, through revelation. That's the first way. We are called to build revelationally. That means that we have that light bulb moment where we see who we really are in our own strength, and we see who God is. And not his hand of judgment that does come against our sin, but in his goodness and how he relents when we turn to him in humility. We confess our sin and we say, Lord, I'm yours. It begins with revelation. Have you ever had a revelation of your will, your way, your sin? And that your sin, and the Bible is very clear. It says, for the wages of sin is death. This is a picture of that. But the free gift of God is eternal life. Because I want you to get this. The moment that David says, whoa, wait a minute, don't do that. I'm the one that messed up. I realize the penalty for my sin. I'm sorry. David's repentance brings God's redemption. And God says, well, hold up. And then this is key. He tells David, go build an altar at the very place where you had that revelation. What is an altar? It's a place of sacrifice and remembrance. So here's my questions. Number one, when's the last time you had a revelation from God? Listen, you can know all about Jesus, but when's the last time he actually spoke to you and you went, wow, that was great? You can read the Bible every day and get nothing from it. Here's my question. When is the last time you had a revelation from God about you and God's call to you? Because we're called to build revelationally. What's God speaking to you? What's he showing you? And here's the thing with revelation. Here's what's always attached to revelation. When you have a revelation from God, it's always attached to sacrifice. David is called to sacrifice. And so he goes to the place that the Lord says, where that angel was, at the threshing floor of this Jebusite, Araunah. And David says in verse 22, let me buy this threshing floor from you at its full price, and I'm going to build an altar to the Lord there so that he will stop the plague. Verse 23, Araunah says, take it, my lord king, and use it as you wish. And then now Araunah's even saying, says, I'll give the oxen for the burnt offerings and the threshing boards for the wood to build the fire on the altar and the wheat for the grain offering. I'll give it all to you. And David's response is huge because he's had a revelation from God of his own sin. He knew, and here's the thing. He knew, yeah, the census, I shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. But the moment he saw into the spiritual realm and the light bulb went off and there was a revelation, it's when he really repented. And then comes the sacrifice. But now Araunah's saying, I'll give it to you. And David says this, it's huge. This is verse 24, King David replied to Araunah, no, I insist on buying it for the full price. I will not take what is yours and give it to the Lord. And this is it. I will not present burnt offerings that have cost me nothing. We build revelationally. The next step is always sacrifice. Are you able to sacrificially give? There's three areas we have to be willing to give. First is our time. If I don't give sacrificially of my time for the Lord, It's just an indicator that maybe I really haven't had a revelation from him. Are you able to sacrificially and joyfully give of your time? David says, I'm not going to give anything that hasn't cost me something. What do we give that costs us something for the Lord? Can I say that I think that many people get an understanding of what church is backwards, that church is there to provide something for you. And in reality, it's a place where you go biblically to be encouraged and that you give of yourself to encourage others. And we give of ourselves and follow Jesus. Hebrews 5:8 says, although he was a son, he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. And so many times we want information, but we hesitate on obedience because it costs us our will. Are you willing to give up your will, your way, your time? Are you willing to give up your talent? Are you able to say, I'm good at, maybe you're great, really are great at encouraging people. And I'm going to give up that thing that I'm giving it for the Lord. So every time I'm talking to somebody, I'm talking about him. Are you able to sacrifice your time? Are you able to sacrifice your talent? Like maybe you just have a compassionate, merciful heart and you can go and just quietly help somebody in need. Are you doing that in the name of Jesus? This is what we're called to. When we live from a place of revelation, there's sacrifice willingly, joyfully, not under compulsion, because we want to, because we recognize what God has delivered us from. This is what David has experienced. Time, talent. Are you able to give of your treasure? I'll be honest. Like, I'm so grateful for the home that I grew up in and a family where I was taught from a young age, because we love God, we tithe and we give of our offerings. It wasn't compulsion. It was because both my parents had a revelation of how good God had been to them, how they were in their own weakness and sin and trying to live from their own strength. And so when we come to the place where we say, I've had the revelation, it becomes easy to give of our time. It becomes easy. We want to. David wanted to buy this. The guy offered it all. He said, I'll give it all to you. And he could have said, what a blessing from the Lord. Thank you, God. It doesn't cost me anything. He said, I will not sacrifice something to God that didn't cost me anything. Our time, our talent, our treasure. So many people get hung up on money. But can I tell you, there's no greater indicator in your life of what you value than the register in your checkbook. It's probably digital now. That just shows you what you value. Are you willing to sacrifice your time, your talent, or your treasure? And I think the reason that many Christians, they say, I love church, but they have time, they have trouble. And don't get this condemningly. This is for me an encouraging message, because I know that when I hear from the Lord, all of those things become easy. When I don't have revelation, I struggle. So I'm going to go back to the question. When was the last time you had a light bulb moment? God spoke to you and you knew what the course of action he was calling you to. And if your response is, I don't know. Like, I can't remember what God's, like, I read a cool verse, but let me just tell you, there's a difference between reading a verse and that verse jumping into your heart and catching fire because you know it was God speaking to you. Have you had that? And if you haven't recently, that's okay. Don't beat yourself up. Don't get offended because the pastor said, like, we should sacrifice our time, our talent, and our treasure. No, listen to me. When we hear from the Lord, nobody has to tell you to do anything because your heart is on fire for him. That's why the Bible says the Lord loves, it says, don't give under compulsion. Don't give your time, your talent, or your treasure under compulsion. It says the Lord, because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And when you've had a revelation of God's goodness and his love and his forgiveness, it becomes easy to give. Now, I know we're in a crazy season. A lot of people are just going, I don't know that I'm okay. But God is. And I am. Our church is. How can that be in the middle of, I look out the window here and just see like broken down trees everywhere. How can that be? Because I've had a revelation of God's goodness. I'm able to see, last week, Genesis 49, the blessing of Issachar, that I'm able to see the goodness, the good of the countryside and how pleasant the land is. This revelation changes everything. This is how we build. There's two other ways we build, but I don't have time for that. So I'm going to pray for you. And listen, if you've never had a revelation from God, how do you have that? You seek him. You pray. Go back and listen to last week's message. You pray. You praise. Yeah. Know who you are as a person. Reach out to people who can encourage you. Study God's word. Jesus said this, seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Ask and you'll receive. Seek him. Knock. Lord, I need you. Ask. You'll receive. Father, I just pray that this week, as we turn off the distractions around us, that God, that we can hear not just the words from a Bible app that we're running through our Bluetooth so we can hear it, but no, Lord, we hear your voice. Father, that as we enter into your presence, we read your word, we seek you, I pray that there's true revelation from you that happens. We hear your voice, we recognize it, and we follow you with everything in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if God's dealing with you and you know that you want that, or maybe you've had that revelation of who Jesus is, that he is the creator of the universe, the Son of God who died for your sins, and you want to follow him, let us know. Click on the link in the description in this video. Let us know, because we want to walk with you, encourage you in your walk and following God's purpose and plan as together we follow Jesus. Love you guys. See y'all soon. Bye.